Thank you, Lynette. It's David Potten and Marianne Penn here, standing in briefly for Don and Sam. We'll go back to the news, and Marianne will be here shortly. We now have a mixed group of stories, starting with good news for many of our listeners, as anyone receiving a disability benefit should shortly receive a £150 disability cost of living payment. The economic crisis was highlighted when a homeless veteran's possessions were removed by the City Council. A branch of the Royal British Legion has pledged to help homeless veterans. At the Assembly House, you'll be able to get a Halloween-themed afternoon tea in late October. A Norfolk author has published her debut novel inspired by a bike ride. And while we're talking about books, we learned this week about a Norwich book fairy. Here is Marianne with the first story about the disability cost of living payments.
About 6 million disabled people in the UK will receive their one-off £150 disability cost of living payment at the end of this month. Those being paid a qualifying disability benefit should receive the payment automatically from September 20th. The payment will help disabled people with a rising cost of living and higher disability-related costs they often face, such as care and mobility needs. Minister for Disabled People, Health and Work, Chloe Smith, said, "We know disabled people can face additional costs, which is why we are acting to help reduce the financial pressure on the most vulnerable. This £150 disability payment is on top of the £1,200 most low-income benefit claimants will receive alongside wider support, including help with transport and prescription costs. We know it's a worrying time for some people, and I'd urge them to check they are getting all the support on offer by searching Help for Households."
A branch of the Royal British Legion has pledged to help homeless veterans in Norwich after one man's possessions were removed by the council. Rough sleepers' items, including those of a veteran, were moved from Gentleman's Walk last week. Norwich City Council issued a notice to the occupiers, who had set up outside 31 Gentleman's Walk, stating the land is managed by the council and the erection of tents and other structures is prohibited. The items are being kept in storage. Lindsay Carruthers, chair of the Old Catton branch of the Royal British Legion, said that homeless former military personnel can come to the charity for any support, regardless of the duration of their service. She said, "We have a system called community support, so we can allocate help with the day-to-day." The branch also signposted to Veterans Gateway, which is funded by the Royal British Legion, which is the first port of call that any veteran might need. People can refer themselves to the British Legion for assistance or be referred by calling the Veterans Gateway on 0808 802 1212 or by calling the British Legion on 0808 802 8080. We're dealing with a community of people who are very self-sufficient, who don't like asking for help, and are very proud. That's part of the character that builds a soldier. It shouldn't be seen as a weakness that they need help. Everybody does.
The Phantom of the Gatto Opera has been hard at work creating a Halloween-themed afternoon tea. The Assembly House of Horrors tea will be available at Norwich Venue from October the 21st to the 31st from 12 noon, with last bookings at 3:30 p.m. Cakes on offer created by head pastry chef Mark Mitson include the Purple People Eater Blueberry Macaroon and Nightmare at the Gatto Opera with pumpkin spice and Halloween sprinkles. It will also be available as a cakeaway takeaway if you book by 9 p.m. the night before for collection on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays.
An author is celebrating after publishing her debut novel inspired following a ride past a remote house in North Norfolk. It's been a lifelong dream of Jane Markland of Marlborough Road, Norwich, to see her words in print, and now that wish has come true. The 63-year-old explained where the inspiration behind her book Cielo first came from. "I began writing Cielo after seeing this old country house," she said. "I cycled past the building in the North Norfolk countryside, and it was one of those wow moments. My immediate thought was, who would live there? What would they be like? And then the storied idea came." Putting two men at the centre of the novel, Miss Markland has written a story about the owner of the house, Max Harrison, and another who would come to work there, Nathan. Following his release from prison, Nathan arrives at Mr. Harrison's home, determined to change his life forever as its gardener there. Only, there is something sinister underneath the surface and the seductive surroundings of the property. She said, "The title came fast. I usually have a title before I finish the first draft, even a working title." Cielo is the name of the house where the whole story is set. It means sky in Spanish, but is also widely depicted as meaning heaven. To my characters, it meant a utopia, somewhere safe and idyllic. Miss Markland, a medical secretary at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital, knew she wanted to write about issues, including life after therapy and drug and alcohol rehabilitation. A major focus of the book is what happens when someone is given a second chance. Previously, the monk grandmother of two had taken part in an online writing course, but she began writing seriously once the idea for Cielo was born, although she had been inspired to write from an early age.
A self-proclaimed bookworm is sharing her love for the written word by hiding novels in nooks and crannies around the city. Zara Harper, who lives in Kosi with her husband Zoltan, grew up with books from a young age. Mrs. Harper saw an online trend which sparked her imagination for what she calls little olive books in the wild. Mrs. Harper has set up a Facebook page under the same name to update people on her travels and when she's stowing books in the suburbs. She explained, "I saw something called Blind Date with a Book, where people would wrap up books and write clues on as to what they were about. So I tweaked the idea and decided to put them out into the wild, so to speak. I hid them in trees, bushes, or on fences. It's really fun to do. Plus, I want to try and encourage more people to read or to get back into reading and away from technology for a little bit. It's been great to do, and I hope whoever finds a book enjoys reading it."
Well, that's it for part one of Chatterbox this week. Your main readers were Sam Elmhurst and Don Cleaver, with myself, David Potten, and Marianne Penn adding a little at the end. Part two will follow immediately with Information Desk, two more sets of news, and another local history feature.